What station did you turn to? No, don't turn your station. Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on AM 850 KFUO. That part isn't inspirational Christian music, but it is part of our ongoing series of examining popular songs and popular artists to see what their worldview is. Why is that important to do? It's important to do that simply because so many listen to these songs and they become infatuated with them. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, July the 30th. And this is a phone program, so you can call us at any time if you're in the St. Louis area. What is the number? 505-7850. Toll free, what is the number? 1-800-730-2727. 2 weeks ago, we began this series with Whitney Houston's I'm Going to Do It My Way. Last week was John Lennon's Imagine. And today we're going to take a look at a number of songs by Michael Jackson, not only because he remains so popular, but because this is the way those who like him and listen to him, this is the way they often think. Now, you just heard a portion of Beat It. I have the lyrics in front of me of these hymns, and this is basically one about, you know, living in a gang-infested neighborhood and the problems that you're often going to run into. These are not hymns, of course. These are songs, popular songs. And Beat It would be one that a lot of people listen to. In fact, some of his most famous ones are Beat It and Thriller and Billie Jean. Now, why do we have this on AM 850 KFUO? And what has this got to do with Law and Gospel? Law and Gospel just so happens to be the way that people want to think or are thinking. And a lot of times they don't realize that they're thinking in these ways. So what's important here is we look at the words that they're saying, because the law is what they really are needing. The gospel is to supply that need. Now, one of the most famous songs that Michael Jackson did, in fact, it became a hit all over the world because it was redone, even though he wrote the song originally, it was redone in such a way that you had all kinds of other pop singers involved with it. And those pop singers included, for instance, Cyndi Lauper. There were just a whole number of them that did this song. It's called We Are the World. Now, if you'll remember from last week, if you were able to listen, when we were taking a look at Lennon's song, Imagine, he imagined a kind of utopia, a utopia that he felt was really something that could even happen here today. We Are the World, in fact, was the theme song for the Hand Across America. That was a movement, and it was something that became very important. You may remember this, but let me read a section of it, and then we're going to play a portion of it. There comes a time when we had heard a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, and it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. Now, this was during wartime. This was a time when Michael Jackson was putting together a theme that I think a lot of people still sing today. It's a theme that is important at any time that somebody is involved in the process of thinking, what is life about? This, we believe, was written in 1985, and even though it's 22 years old, here's a little, if you're a parent, this is a kind of a hint for you. Do you ever listen to some of the songs your children are hearing on the radio? and you can't make out the words, one of the most important concerts that Michael Jackson ever gave was in Bucharest. It was part of what was called the Dangerous Tour. And we have that DVD. Obviously, we can't show the DVD over the radio. But it is really quite amazing. It was extremely well done. A lot of fireworks, a lot of display, a lot of dancing, all in sync with a number of people doing it. And the crowd just stretched. I'm not even sure where they were. All you could just see is people after people after people. It didn't look like a stadium. It looked like an outdoor kind of thing. But as far as the eye could see, people were jumping up and down, raising their arms. Girls were fainting all over the place, and they were showing a photograph after photograph of individuals who were fainting and had to be carried off to first aid, all because Michael Jackson was on stage. In fact, if you wanted to know what he was saying, it was kind of hard, although every time they showed the crowd, all the mouths were voicing what he was saying. They had all his songs memorized. Now, if you're a parent wondering, what is my child singing? Here's a little hint. The internet has what's called Google on it. You can go to Google, and it's a search engine. And here are the words that you would type in for whatever artist, whatever song is being heard by your children. Let's use Michael Jackson as an example. You type in, the first word you type in is lyrics, L-Y-R-I-C-S. Then you go to Michael Jackson or whatever artist they're listening to, and then after it, you put the title of the song, such as We Are the World. And when you hit enter, you may have four or five options, but most of them are free. You click on that, and there in front of you is the entire song written out. You can actually know what the words are saying. We are the world. There's no doubt in the heart of every human being there is desire for peace. Peace not only between a child and his parents, or a student and a teacher, or an employee and an employer, or a country with other countries. I mean, it just goes on all over the place. But songs often have very good need substance. They have real lousy substance. That is, they can show what the needs are, but often, as we saw with John Lennon's Imagine last week, this is not ever going to be an earth where there is no religion, where there is no countries, where there are all the things that, in John Lennon's mind, caused great strife. You're never going to have this on this earth. As our Lord said, you will always have the poor with you. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. These songs tend to be somewhat idealistic. They see the problem, but their solutions would be ideal if possible, but we don't live in an idealistic world. We live in a realistic world. Yet, in diagnosing the problem, oftentimes, these songwriters are really quite accurate. When it comes to this particular one, We Are the World, he says, we can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We are all a part of God's great big family, and the truth you know, love is all we need. Now, that's the second verse of this song, and by the time you get to it, you know very well what's the solution is love. But here's the problem. One person's love is another person's sin. What do I mean by that? Well, take a look at the world today. You think we're at war because one nation decided to hate somebody? No, they loved their own people and therefore did something that caused hatred against another nation. Or take a look at various unethical practices and lifestyles that are going on today. Abortion, homosexuality, you can go down the list. Well, when these people do this, they think they're doing it out of an act of love. Their definition of love means we should never have a child unwanted come into the world. Their definition of love means if I was made this way and I want to go out with someone of the same gender and marry him or her, then why can't I? Who are you to tell me I can't love the way I want to love? So love really isn't enough, because the world has a totally different view of love than does God. God even defines his view of love. It's found in Romans chapter 13, which is kind of surprising because that's the one all about government, where every soul should be subject to the governing authorities. The governing authorities are God's minister to you for good. Therefore, pay taxes, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. But then listen to this one part. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, two verses later, verse 10 of Romans 13, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, let me explain to you how Michael Jackson's song and how much of the world understands that passage. They're asking the question, how can we get peace? Well, you just love. And when you love, that is fulfilling the law. Did you notice, though, the order? Your act of love is spontaneously, automatically, and at the same time, fulfilling the law. But God doesn't think this way. The verse is quite different. Love is not automatically fulfilling the law unless you fulfill the law. They really have the verse backwards. Fulfillment of the law is an act of love. Let me explain. If you think, for instance, to rob a store for some food because your family is hungry, and you're showing love to your family, and therefore, when you rob the store, yes, you may be breaking God's commandments, but that is an act of love, because love is fulfilling the law, and you already love your family, so spontaneously, automatically, you're fulfilling the law. You see how you get mixed up with that? No. You can never have an act of love that is not in fulfillment of the law. If you want to do love, you first find out what is the law of God. And another word for law in this kind of circumstances is simply the will of God. What is God's will in this particular circumstance? Is it to steal some bread from a store in order to feed my hungry family? No, that would be stealing. So no matter how much love you think is behind that action, it's really never a fulfillment of the law. It's a breaking of the law. Now, of course, there can be circumstances, like in wartime, things like that, where normal understandings of stealing no longer are true. For example, let's say you're going to, your particular mission is to attack an outpost. It would be a great idea if you could sneak in at night and steal all their guns, so that when you come upon them in the daytime, they don't have any way to defend themselves and they just give up. Now, that would be appropriate in war, because war has a different set of values than being at peace does. But the idea that all that has to happen is that we love one another really means nothing, because everyone's definition of what love is different. Now, God's isn't. The chorus goes on, we are the world, we are the children, we are the ones who make a brighter day. Now, how many times have you heard that, even by adults, that, yeah, the hope of the world is in our children? Looking forward to that. I recall when I was a pastor full-time in a congregation, I often made the comment that I am raising young people to be members of other congregations. And so that was kind of an interesting thing to say. because we know that many of the young people, as they get older, need to leave. They go to school, etc., so they become members of other congregations. Michael goes on in singing this hymn. There's a choice we are making. We are saving our own lives. It's true we'll make a better day, just you and me. Now, how do you make it clear to others? You make it clear by saying, send them your heart so that they'll know that someone cares and their lives will be stronger and free as God has shown us by turning stone to bread, so we all must lend a helping hand. Now, there's a good example where the Bible is misunderstood. Jesus did not make stones into bread. In fact, he refused to do so when the devil told him to do so when he was hungry. So I'm not really sure where God did turn stone to bread. But the point that Michael is trying to make is that if we really show love to one another, if we really send them our heart, then they'll know we care. And when they know we care, then they'll begin caring. That is idealism and not realism. Because we live in a world of sinful individuals. Now, we're going to be playing a portion of the song, but we won't play the whole thing since some of it is repeat chorus. So we'll start in a few moments, and then it'll kind of just fade out as we get to the end of the hour. And when we come back, we've got another song by Michael Jackson that I do not think is well known. But last year, there were a lot of people who think that this should be being played on the radio all the time. And when you hear the words, you'll see why they're saying what they're saying. The point we're making with We Are the World is that Michael Jackson and many of his listeners to these songs believe that they can make a change in the world. Now, there's no doubt you can make some changes outwardly, but the idea that with Michael Jackson or John Lennon, that you can bring peace to this world in such a way that there's no more strife, no more anger, this is really quite impossible. It's impossible because they don't understand the biblical view of original sin. Man, by nature, is not nice. He only becomes nice in two ways. Out of self-preservation, he plays the game of being nice, or he's converted by the Holy Spirit to faith in Jesus Christ. And then he truly can do works that are loving. But until then, all that he does is out of self-interest, whether he's aware of it or not. Therefore, to think that you're going to change the world when you move to something that is not out of self-interest is to think that human beings, to some degree, are neutral or at least naturally loving, and if they just see the right example, then everything's going to be okay. Do you know how many of the children, the youth, and maybe even adults today grew up on music like this? And really think that the purpose of the church, for example, is to get everybody to be good. If we could all just be good and loving, then we would have a wonderful utopia here. And in fact, a lot of Christians think that. Just ask this question. Do you think good people go to heaven or to hell? And they'll say, well, to heaven. Okay, right now we're going to listen to a portion of We Are the World by Michael Jackson. Let's listen carefully to the words. And we'll come back after the break.
There is a time when we should heed a certain cause, 'cause the world, it seems, is right in this line. There's a chance we're taking in leading our own lives. It seems we set deep in night, and it shows the certain we will call. We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones who think of brighter day, so let's start here. There's a chance we're taking.
Next time of the Bible study, we move into Jeremiah 37 and 38. More bad outcomes for Jeremiah. He is lied about, he is beaten, and he is imprisoned. Quite an outcome for a faithful prophet, wouldn't you say? Let's talk about it with Pastor Lane Berglund next time on our 10:05 Bible study, Jeremiah 37 and 38.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
We would like you to consider becoming a day sponsor between now and the end of the year. It's not too soon to start planning ahead for the holidays in 2008, and it'd be a great time for you to become a day sponsor to remember a birthday, an anniversary, or perhaps a departed loved one. Between now and the end of the year would be a great time for you to become a day sponsor and support the ministry of AM 850 KFUO. Call us and ask about being a day sponsor.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. When's the last time you had a quality conversation with your spouse? Dr. Dobson believes that young couples in particular need to maintain regular communication.
And it is so typical at that age to jam the bag full,
right,
to where there is nothing, absolutely nothing left. You have people going to school,
right,
trying to study for tests, and they've got to earn a living in their spare time, and a baby comes along, and then they often find themselves with a house to either make over or rebuild, and they get to the point that they're ready to kill each other.
Right.
And this is at a time when they most need to learn love talk.
The fact is, poor communication can eventually destroy a marriage. That's why couples need to schedule time to talk, just like everything else. In fact, make it your number one priority. We've got more marriage advice at family.org.
On the next Adventure in Odyssey.
All I know is that I have to finish that adventure.
Wit is more than curious about the future.
An imagination station adventure about death.
And seems determined to learn more.
Stop the program.
Oh, Wit!
But will he ever come back?
Oh, no.
Doctor, hey, somebody help!
Only time will tell on the next Adventure in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Well, you probably know the words of the psalmist, make a joyful noise to the Lord, come before His presence with joyful singing. Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. That's what you'll get on Jubilation every Sunday afternoon, joy-filled singing connected to prayerful thoughts, along with meditations all centered where they need to be in God's precious and holy Word. So join me, won't you? That's Jubilation every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO.
Come out and join the fun at the General Bissell's House Museum and make some spare change, or maybe just pick up a hidden treasure that no one else wants but you. You know how that goes. One man's junk is another man's treasure. Whether you make crafts or just want to clean out your basement, there's a spot for you. Exhibitors will line the drive in front of the Bissell House. The sale will take place from 10 until 4 at the General Daniel Bissell's House Museum, 10255 Bell Fountain Road, Saturday and Sunday, August 2nd and 3rd. $25 for exhibitor space. Admission is free for shoppers.
Here's a message from the Missouri Botanical Garden. Do you enjoy gardening? Do you have some experience with gardening and a desire to learn more? Consider volunteering as a St. Louis Master Gardener. Applications for the training program will be accepted through September 30th. The program is open to adults of all ages. Applications are due by Tuesday, September 30th. Candidates must be willing to contribute 50 or more volunteer hours per year, and there is an application fee. To learn more, go to stlmg.org and click Become a Master Gardener.
I bet you don't recognize that song by Michael Jackson. It's entitled We've Had Enough, and we're going to go over it a little bit because it has become one of his most popular songs this past year. A lot of people think Michael Jackson, oh, that's old, isn't it? Well, certainly some of them are old. Billie Jean, Beat It, Thriller. I'll never forget the night I saw Thriller. I think it was Halloween night they brought it out, and it was like 5, 6, 7 minutes long. It was a video, of course, just a wonderful video. It won some awards in whatever category those kind of videos win awards in. It was just quite amazing because of his singing, his dancing, and, of course, the theme for Halloween. Well, last year, when this song became more known, it's entitled, the name of this song is We've Had Enough. It is a song that is written to people who live in a city where life isn't worth much. In fact, the first lines, love was taken from a young life and no one told her why. Her direction has a dim light from one more violent crime. Now, what this crime was for some reason her father was shot by the police. And so it goes on, she innocently questioned why her father had to die. She asked the men in blue, how is it that you get to choose who will live and who will die? Did God tell you you could decide? You saw he didn't run and that my daddy had no gun. And that's the first scene. And what Michael Jackson's We've Had Enough does is he goes to different locations in the song, talking about the experiences that people are having in the world today. And what we're looking at is, yes, this is the law. We are not in control of our life. And as I said earlier, many of these popular songs do a pretty good job in helping us to see how the law of God operates. We see death and we cannot explain it. It's when it comes to the treatment that there is no gospel. Not in any of Michael Jackson's songs. God is mentioned a number of times, but the cross of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, I haven't found that. But let's go on to the second scene, and we'll have you hear the whole We've Had Enough. In the middle of a village, way in a distant land, lies a poor boy with his broken toy, too young to understand. He's awakened, ground is shaken, his father grabs his hand, screaming, crying, his wife's dying, now he's left to explain. He innocently questioned why his mother had to die. What did these soldiers come here for? If they're for peace, why is there war? Did God say that they could decide who will live and who will die? All my mama ever did was try to take care of her kid. two scenes from life, real life, that Michael Jackson is talking about. Psychologists tell us that sometimes when you are in a situation where there is great grief due to the death of a loved one, particularly when it was a sudden death, unexpected death, or the death of an innocent person, that there are hardly any words to say. That sometimes just talking about the emotions that are in everybody around there is sufficient, because the people then say, now I know you understand. The hardest thing a pastor has is a funeral, especially at the death of someone who wasn't expected to die, a child, a teenager in a car crash, etc., is why. And if a pastor attempts to explain why, he's going to be taking over for God, because we cannot read the mind of God. We know the results of the death of a loved one in Christ. We don't know the reasons for the death of a loved one in Christ, not the specific reasons. So you've got two situations here of a young woman whose father was gunned down by the police, and she thinks unfairly, and another situation where a young boy and his father are grieving over the death of his mother that occurred when soldiers came into their village. And here's the question. Did God say that they could decide who will live and who will die? Long Gospel answers that question. It's a question that's dealt with in the distinction between the two kingdoms. God has set up a temporal kingdom and a spiritual kingdom. There is no authority to put anyone to death in the spiritual kingdom. The only thing the spiritual kingdom puts to death is the old Adam. As we accuse an individual of sins that he cannot pay for, with the hope that he looks to Jesus Christ as his only way of salvation. The temporal world does have the authority of death. The temporal world can put people to death simply because of the crimes they have committed. And God permits that. But why do people die unexpectedly? Or why does this person die and not someone else? You can have a gas explosion in a building, and some of the people died and others are injured, and some walk away without a scratch. Why? The idea that there are others asking the question and finding no answers, strangely enough, becomes a comfort for those grieving. Because in their grief, they do not want to grieve alone. They want to grieve with someone. So does the Michael Jackson hymn here, "We've Had Enough," does it give any plan for hope? The next stanza of the song, "We're innocently standing by, watching people lose their lives. It seems as if we have no voice. It's time for us to make a choice." Only God could decide who will live and who will die. There's nothing that can't be done if we raise our voice as one. Now, this is a similar theme that we heard in We Are the World, that if we all get together and just love one another, then peace will come to this world. The only time you're able to do that is when you live in a society that just will not put you to death out of a whim. There's no doubt that Mahatma Gandhi and others could show a lot of love, because when they're under British rule, the British aren't going to put somebody to death just because they're showing love. But how about all those people who tried under the Third Reich, under Adolf Hitler? Do you think showing love to Adolf Hitler would have made any difference at all? No, you would have been put to death just as quickly. For Jews to show love to Hitler in an attempt to keep him from putting them in gas chambers is just really ridiculous. There's only one thing that the Hitlers of this world understand, and that's a rain of bombs upon their cities, upon their country, upon their house, upon them. So yes, only God will decide who will live and who will die. There's nothing more that can't be done if we raise our voices one. Now, there's where Michael Jackson is in error. Because you can have united voices around the world, and they still won't make any difference because we're living in a sinful world. Oh, you may minimize the violence, but that's only because it becomes in people's self-interest not to do violence. But once the inhibitions are gone, you don't want to be in this world. Because this is a world of total chaos. The only thing keeping it together are the selfish desires of human beings that don't want to get hurt any more than they're already getting hurt. Now, here's what Michael continues. They've got to hear it from me. They've got to hear it from you. They've got to hear it from us. We can't take it. We've already had enough. Now, I'm not really sure what that means. When you go to somebody and say, okay, let's say you're having a problem in marriage and your husband is just always ranking on you and you go to him and you said, I've had enough. Oh, that's going to stop him. Sure. He says, oh, I didn't know you felt that way. Okay, I won't do it anymore. Whatever he was doing. Whatever he was saying. You see how ridiculous that sounds? You can have the whole country up in arms against the Second World War. In fact, most of the Americans during the Second World War were against it, even before they got involved with it. And boy, did their minds change as to how they were going to really be against it after Pearl Harbor. So being nice, you're just going to be taken advantage of. Look what happened to Jesus. You couldn't have found a nicer individual. Going around forgiving the sins of people who don't deserve it. Giving gifts to those who really have need of it. Jesus was the perfect example. But for his love, for his voice being sounded forth clearly, he got crucified. That's what you should expect. Don't think that y'all raising your voice is going to make a difference. It can make a difference on specific things. For instance, there's no doubt that the pro-life movement has made great headway in recent years. And they made that headway primarily due to good advertising, good information, ultrasounds, so women can see this really is a baby in the womb. So I'm not saying that you cannot stop certain things and maybe reverse them, but the idea of getting a utopian here on Earth, That's not realistic thinking. And for two reasons. Man is sinful by nature. And number two, God has promised that the poor will always be with us. And also that there will be war and rumors of war. It's not a promise that he has to put into place for it to be fulfilled. He just permits human beings to act naturally. And that's what's going to happen. So, the song goes on talking about they got to hear it from me, they got to hear it from you. We can't take it. We've already had enough. Then he goes, deep in my soul, baby, deep in your soul and let God decide. Deep in my soul, it's up to me and I'm still alive. Now, this is a mixed message because on the one hand, if God is the one who decides, what is my united voice with others doing? Either God does it or I do it. It could be God does it through me. And if that's what Michael Jackson is talking about, that's a real possibility. The idea that we've all had enough is absolutely true. And if you see your children, your son, your daughter, listening to songs like this, and this is more of a contemporary one, because not as well known as some of other Michael's older songs. When you listen to them hearing the words, when you look up Google, remember, G-O-O-G-L-E, type in lyrics, Michael Jackson, and then the name of this song, which is We've Had Enough. And if they're singing it around the house, there's a great opportunity to do some talking from a law gospel point of view. Acknowledge, yes, all of us are sick of what's going on in the world. But then also balance out Michael Jackson's understanding of how things are going to get fixed. They're not going to be fixed by us showing love to one another. That's just not going to happen. Because love isn't sufficient. Sounds strange, but it's true. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hear a portion of this song, We've Had Enough. Rush to make a choice. This is how many of our people think in this world. In fact, if you go to the Google and look up I'll Be There, you'll see pictures of people hugging one another, different races, different nationalities. This is the thinking of the world. And in fact, that's how they look at a lot of religions. Religion simply is a way of how we all get united as one if we just love one another. In fact, the essence of every religion, many people think, is love one another as you love yourself, the golden rule. It's quite interesting to note that Christianity stands alone then, apart from every other religion, that loving one another, while it is an admirable goal, only can be done truly by Christians from God's point of view, and even there, never perfectly. And even if you were to love one another, for who is the greatest lover of people than Jesus, they still will crucify you. Love is not an antidote to violence. Violence is an antidote to violence. And although that sounds strange, we're living in a fallen world. We're not living in a utopia. We're only going to do one more song with a few verses to it. It's I'll Be There. I'm going to read part of it. You see, what many are looking for is a real relationship. And it's kind of interesting that in many of the songs I've been listening to, you could take out, in Michael Jackson's case, the girl he's wanting to go out with and just replace the word with God. And it's really interesting how God alone meets the needs of human beings. This one, I'll Be There, goes this way. You and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. Where there is love, I'll be there. Well, you're starting to understand that the Michael Jackson, the John Lennons, love is really critical. It seems to be the machine that gets everything oiled. Now, what is love? I'll reach out my hand to you. I'll have faith in all you do. Just call my name and I'll be there. Now, if you say God is saying that, then you have the problem that he doesn't have faith in everything we do. And if we say I'm the one doing that because we have faith in everything God does, well, then we don't want God calling our name and I'll be there. There's a real mixture here as to who is calling whom. Now, I think in the song, he's talking about his girlfriend. He'll reach out his hand to her. He'll have faith in all that she does. Just call my name and I'll be there. But how different it would be if you realized that God reaches out his hand to you. We have faith in all that he does. We call on his name and he is there. And what is he there? He's there. He says, I'll be there to comfort you. Build my world of dreams around you. I'm so glad I found you. I'll be there with a love that's strong. I'll be your strength. I'll keep holding on. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. And it's so interesting to see how if God is the one singing the chorus, he'll be there to comfort you. He won't build his world of dreams around you. He'll fulfill what he promised around you. He indeed did find you. And his love is so strong. It's just kind of interesting that in the depths of souls of human beings, they're looking for this, but they really can't find it outside of God, which is what I would consider to be a great conversation starter with those of your children that are listening to these popular songs. Tell them in Christ what these songs are looking for is fulfilled. So let's just, without further ado, listen to a portion of I'll Be There.
I'll be there.
This is a third of our series of listening to popular songs, and the goal is, from a law point of view, to see what are the needs of those singing the songs, because they do mirror the society in which we live in. And even though some of the Michael Jackson songs are kind of old, there's no doubt that many people still feel the way that his songs express. And it's a wonderful conversation starter. As we move into further weeks on this, we hope to bring up some songs that are more in tune or more contemporary, and you'll see the same kinds of themes in them from a law gospel perspective. But our goal today was to get parents kind of going to Google, downloading the lyrics of what your child is singing, and then having that as a conversation starter. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. Stay with us through the break.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.